I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to another bonus episode of 5 Out.
When you say 5 Out, what do you mean by that?
One thing Matt and I have talked about quite a bit in the course of all sports coming to a screeching halt is how the college athletes have been hit, maybe the hardest of any athletes in the course of this. From a basketball standpoint, the NCAA tournament was canceled, no men's, no women's. So I wanted to talk to a couple of athletes about the experiences that they've gone through. We have a sophomore and a senior, a men's player, a woman's player. First, talk to Veronica Burton of Newton. She went to Newton South. She's at Northwestern University right now. She was a sophomore, was this year's Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. Second team all Big Ten, led the conference in steals, and Northwestern finished atop the Big Ten conference this year. And you might be familiar with her dad's work, Steve Burton of WBZ. Then I talked to Billerica native Josh Bradenisi, who goes to Jefferson University in Pennsylvania. Their first game of the Division II tournament was scheduled for the 14th of March, which was 3 days after the Gobert incident in OKC. He was second team all-conference in the Central Atlantic Collegiate Conference. He was a senior, too, so this is his last chance. I appreciate them both taking the time to talk about this. I know they're both trying to deal with their own situation, and then just in general, this is not an easy subject to kind of relive for any young athlete. If you haven't already, you can leave a rating or review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, or on radio.com, WEI.com. If you haven't already, you can leave a rating or review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or on Google Play, radio.com. WEI.com, and you can also find us on Twitter or Instagram at 5OutPod.
And let's get it going.
Look, I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah, I just want to be all right with it. Yeah.
So when I sent you an email to start the Zoom conference, I realized that 2022 is your year of graduation, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so I had a, you know, a u.northwestern.edu email too, and you know, mine's 2014. So I was looking at it. Oh man, she's graduating 8 years after me. I'm starting to feel old with all this stuff.
No, not at all.
Oh, you're too nice. But then this year, it feels like, I mean, this last month has felt like, what, like 6 months? I mean, the last 3 weeks. No, it's been 3 weeks since you played your last game, right? Or more?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not sure the exact date, but at least 3 weeks.
What's quarantine life like? You're back in Massachusetts and everything right now. How's the online school and everything?
Yeah, we actually haven't started online school yet. So they gave us, because we're on the quarter system, so we had spring break last week, and then they extended spring break an extra week for us. So we start this upcoming Monday. So, yeah.
But, oh, that's right. I forgot you guys have the trimesters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You're in your second year now, though, so you're used to that.
Yeah, I am. You get used to it.
Because Newton was Newton South and everything. That's all. That's normal semesters and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
This semester. Okay.
I never. I don't know. I just always thought it was weird because you spread. You start later than everybody else, but you also get out later than everybody else.
Yeah, you start much later than everyone else, and then you also get out much later. So, but they also extended spring break a little bit, so it's even weirder kind of right now.
Well, you're not gonna have Dillo Day this year. The least they can do is make sure that you guys have spring break.
That's
right?
True.
Yeah, that's good. Did you stay in Evanston after you got the news for a little bit, or did you go home?
Yeah. So it was kind of, we found out in a meeting, we were supposed to practice, actually. We found out in a meeting that just kind of everything, they're calling it all off. So I probably went home a week after the meeting or so, like 5 days-ish. Some of my teammates went home like immediately, but I went home probably a week after. It was really many people went home in that kind of time frame.
And was it, I mean, you had to do a commercial flight and everything, flying out of, let me guess, you fly out of O'Hare, because that's where all your teammates probably say they'll pick you up. See, I always did Midway. Everybody always used to complain to me about that. Well, it's Southwest. I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
But, I mean, Midway's.
My aunt lives right next to O'Hare, so she, like, is willing to drive me, kind of, so it kind of works out a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. So that's, that makes a lot more sense then. Okay.
Yeah.
But when it came to the flying process and everything like that, I mean, O'Hare is as busy as any airport.
Yeah.
Was that, this is still early on where there wasn't a whole lot known, as much as younger people weren't supposed to be at risk when we first found out about the coronavirus and everything. Was that a nerve-wracking experience for you, kind of getting your flight and everything?
Yeah, definitely just, myself personally, I wasn't like too afraid, just because as people kind of believed at the time, like people my age weren't really at risk, but just kind of coming home to my parents, I was more just a little nervous, but I had gloves, I had a lot of like wipes and stuff to wipe down the plane. The airport itself wasn't too busy. Like, it was kind of a time where some people were just like really kind of not going there. My flight though was actually like a full flight. So that was kind of interesting. That. Yeah. So like the airport was pretty calm, but just then once I got on the flight, it was packed.
Good thing nothing else came from that. That's the travel. Yeah. And then there's other people now who are actually still traveling. I hope you don't have any friends that are out partying.
No, definitely not. Trust me. I've made it clear that it's not smart. So
good. Yeah. Well,
but
there are still some people. It's mind blowing. But
I agree.
You said that you found out in a meeting. So did you guys find out before, like, the general public did?
So we, not necessarily. I mean, a little bit, I guess. We found out we had a meeting. We were going to have practice. We were going to have lift. And so we were all, like, prepared for that. We were kind of thinking. We knew, like, the possibility of not having fans. Like, we thought that was probably best case scenario for us. And then the NBA got suspended, and we just kind of, that really like hit us. We were like, okay, the chances of this like are getting smaller and smaller. Then there right before practice and lift, they were like, okay, we just have to have a meeting. So then we were just like, okay, like it's not looking good. And we got an email from our athletic director saying the Big Ten as a whole is removing themselves from any NCAA or like spring and winter sports. So kind of like the Big Ten removed themselves before it was like all canceled. Mm-hmm. So we found out about that like before, like my family and just like as the general public, I'd say. And then a couple of days later, maybe the NCAA canceled it completely. So
now this would have been your first shot, right? Because as a freshman, you guys did not make it, correct?
Yeah, would have been first shot. Yeah, even it would have been the first shot for our seniors too. So
yeah, well, I mean that's the thing. I mean, those are the people that I think we all kind of think of in this process.
Yeah.
I mean, how have your seniors been? And I mean, I'm assuming you guys, the underclassmen, had to kind of help them through the process as much as anybody.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's heartbreaking for everyone, but especially just knowing that they don't really get this opportunity again, because we kind of get a chance to do what we can do next year. But just kind of knowing that this was it, and they really, just because of also like the year we had, like finding out you played your last game after the fact is just heartbreaking for anyone. So I think we've kind of really had to like just kind of be with them, obviously support them, whatever like feelings they were experiencing, but just kind of well, we were like reassuring them, like, we'll still be together, we'll still be all this. And then it was hard just because then we all kind of had to go our separate ways too. So it's like, we can't really even be together either, which is difficult just because you miss so much of that like social aspect too.
That's rough. Damn. Yeah. So, I mean, for you, did it, I mean, all this stuff happened so fast. I remember when Gobert got tested positive, and then as much as this has all felt like, you know, these past 3+ weeks have felt like a year almost, the whole Gobert thing all happened so quickly, and everybody's getting canceled left and right, NCAA in the course of things. When did it sink in for you? Like, this is the first year for all of us that there's no March Madness, but you come from, you had two sisters who were playing college basketball and everything like that. Basketball's big part of your life, for your family and everything, sports in general.
Yeah, definitely took a little bit just because you, like, I don't know, I feel like you just kind of have this false idea that, like, sports, okay, like, a lot of things can go wrong, a lot of things can get canceled, but sports, like March Madness, they wouldn't cancel that. So I think, like, you kind of had that, like, false mindset for a while that just, like, okay, like, this sporting event is invincible when it's clearly not. And obviously, I think it was canceled for good reason, but just kind of letting that sink in that, like, well, I mean, we struggled to, like, keep the mindset that this doesn't take away from all that we accomplished this season. So, because at the end of the day, like, this is what you're kind of competing for, and this is what you put a lot of work in to, like, prove yourself in March and in March Madness. So it was definitely difficult to just, like, keep the mindset that, like, try and kind of find a positive light in it and, like, see that all we accomplished is still valuable, even though we weren't able to, like, compete for a national championship. So that was definitely difficult. But
you guys, I mean, especially yourself and your individual accomplishments, I do want to touch on that too. But I mean, you guys are the team from Northwestern that I care about the most. You can ask Coach Joe. I went to didn't they do a story in the Tribune this year on the football team being super fans for you guys? Ask Coach Joe, who was a super fan back in like 2010, 2011. Used to go to all the games.
All right, I definitely will.
Yeah, ask him that. But I mean, you were what, defensive player of the year, second team all Big Ten, led the conference in, was it steals, right? You had 100, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I mean, you guys win the conference. You guys in Maryland have a share of it and everything like that. What was it about this year as a sophomore? You know, what were some of the differences for you that you kind of noticed that you feel helped you have as much success as you did?
I would say definitely just kind of the experience that I was able to get in my first year there, just because kind of going in as a freshman and getting like the starting role was like an honor, definitely, but it was all new to me. I mean, college basketball is definitely different from high school basketball. You can't really prepare for that. So just kind of, I think our WNIT run and just our really long season, my freshman year definitely helped experience-wise and like prepared me for my sophomore year. And I'd say just a confidence standpoint, I think seeing just kind of the hard work that I myself personally and just all my teammates have put in the off season, just kind of really showing off throughout the season and seeing all the success that we were having, I think that allowed me to just kind of take on a bigger role and be confident in that role.
Now, of course, you want to build on this into next year. Your whole team does, having a great year and everything. But you guys train in the summer back at school usually too, right?
Yeah.
Has there been talk about what are you even doing for training right now to kind of, I know you need a rest and everything, but what are you doing right now for that?
Yeah, no, it's definitely hard. I mean, obviously all like the indoor gyms are closed right now. I've been trying to run as much as possible, just kind of like anything to keep myself just sitting in bed, sitting on the couch all day, just like, so I've been going on runs, been doing some sprints, stuff like that. I've been going to parks outside, but they actually just zip tied the net, so I can't go to any parks now, so that's been difficult. We were provided with some like kind of body weight lift. A lot of people don't have like weights and stuff like lifting equipment either, which is difficult. So our strength and conditioning coach had kind of provided us with a lot of body weight exercises, like core exercises and stuff like that. So I've been doing that as much as possible, and just kind of doing some ball handling drills outside, whether it be in the street or just kind of on an outdoor court. Anything possible, just kind of keep myself going and keep my body used to somewhat of what we could have been doing.
Wait. So you're telling me that your dad, you are legitimately the entire family full of athletes. You guys don't have a basketball hoop at your place?
We don't. We used to. So when we were younger, I used to live in Hopkinton, and we used to have two baskets, like everything. But now we had a really long driveway back then, and we just had so much space. And now we don't have that much space. Like our driveway is not very big, and it's just kind of a busy, road. I don't know. It's not great. You can't really have a basketball hoop out here, so it's been a struggle. But I think I might have to convince them to get one.
Yeah, you're going to have
to. Put it in the street, exactly.
You guys got
one of my teammates
right
actually did that, and one of my teammates made their parents buy them a basket, a little hoop. I may have to do that, too.
Well, I mean, because you look at the summer, right? I mean, that was my other thing is, have they talked to you at all about what the plans are in terms of you coming back, or is that just way too far down the line for them?
Yeah, we actually don't totally know right now. It's kind of up in the air. No one can really say anything positive or for certain right now. We actually haven't canceled all of spring quarter yet or made it all remote yet. They're making that final decision April 17th, whether we just continue everything online or we may come back. But that would be in May now because the stay-at-home order just continues to get pushed back. We're also actually supposed to go on our foreign trip this summer, Spain.
It's not looking.
So no one knows anything for sure right now. It's kind of just complicated times. We're just trying to communicate with each other as best as possible and see what happens from there.
Oh, you guys are supposed to go to Spain. I have no idea how close Madrid and Barcelona are. You going to either one of those or both?
I feel like we were. I don't know if it was all laid out yet. I don't completely remember, but we were definitely going to make a few stops around there. So I don't know what we're, I
don't know. Oh man.
And now it's crazy.
That's awful. So then now you don't have classes. Wow. So, cause there are plenty of students that do have classes. So you don't have classes.
Yeah.
You can only really run and do body weight exercises. What else are you doing besides staying out of your parents' hair while you're at home?
Yeah. So my brother's home too. He's at UCLA. So he was on Quarter Systems as well, but they actually made it all remote already. So I've been hanging out with him, been doing some puzzles, got a 500 piece puzzle the other day. So I've been working on that, watching movies, watching Netflix. Just really trying to do something different as much as possible, but obviously my options are kind of limited, but yeah.
Did you watch Tiger King yet?
I have not. Heard a lot of good things. Should I watch
yes. it? Yes, it is. Your dad might be upset if I suggest it to you, but I'm going to suggest it to you. It's weird. It's strange.
Okay. I've heard that though. It looks good though. You might as well.
It's unlike anything. I mean, there's some weird reality stuff out there, but this is... Big cat people.
All right, I'll give it a try.
Anyways, Veronica, I appreciate you taking the time so much. Stay safe, stay healthy, and all this.
Of course. Thank you so much.
And now we switch over to Josh Bradenese.
And let's get it going. I just want to be all
right with it. Yeah. So when Matt and I were talking about setting this up, he had nothing but glowing things to say about you. He says you're a dog in the court. You work your ass off in training too. Obviously, you've done well in everything. He said you're one of the most successful guys that they have at BST. So just so you know, you come highly, highly recommended.
Thanks, Matt.
Is Matt a good coach?
Yeah, I mean, I love playing with Matt. Matt's one of those energy guys. You know, he's always got, he always wants people to go at each other,
He loves that, yeah.
He always brings up Kobe Bryant. I know you guys talk about that on the show all the time, but he loves people that just compete, people that want to be the best, So at workouts, he's always looking for that competitive edge to kind of exploit and say stuff about, so.
So he brings up Kobe Bryant more during workouts, would you say, or more on the podcast? Because he comes up at least once a podcast, I would say.
Definitely more on the podcast. But at workouts, if it's a water break or something, he might come over and start talking about him. I love every time I see there's something in the podcast about Matt talking about Kobe, I gotta go in and listen. So
yeah, well,
love getting him fired up about it.
He gets fired up over some of the. He just in this past episode, he gets fired up over some of the littlest things, but that's why I love him because he's always been like that. Always had that dog in him. But, and like I said, he sees that in you. And obviously you had a ton of success this year, and over the course of your career, you were second team all conference. You guys were finished. You guys lost in the conference title game, but you were ranked, was it 15th, right?
Yeah, I think at the end of the season we were 15th, but at one point I think we even got up. We were at 9 at one point in the season.
So ranked 9 nationally in all Division II, and then you guys, as much as you weren't able to win the conference title, you guys were getting. You got a bid to the tournament. Was this your first time, or had you guys been there before?
My second year, we won our conference championship. We hosted the conference, and we ended up winning in the championships, which got us a bid, but our record wasn't really that great. So we ended up being the 8th seed and playing the number 1 overall seed, Lemoyne. And we got actually, it was a crazy story. Our starting point guard, Kylan Garrett, who was an All-American this year, a senior, he ended up – we actually ate at Ruby Tuesdays the night before, and Kylan has celiac disease. I don't know how real you are on celiac disease, but basically you can't eat gluten, and anything with gluten in it, there's all kinds of different things that have gluten in it, pretty much everything. We went to Ruby Tuesdays, and we think they might have gave him, like, some actual pasta instead of gluten-free pasta, and his stomach was not agreeing with it. He actually had to sit out, which forced a lot of our guys to go into different positions. Kayson Randolph, who plays overseas now, he had to go to the one and play a lot of the point guard spot. So we ended up we got smacked by, like, 20 points against Lemoyne in the first round. So that was my only other NCAA tournament appearance besides what would have been this year.
Okay, so biggest takeaway from the podcast, no matter what we say going forward, is don't eat at Ruby Tuesdays then?
Yeah.
Before a big game, don't do that.
Yeah, we used to eat there all the time, but I think Coach kind of shied away from going there for the rest of our career.
Oh, so when you guys on the road, that's where Coach would take you guys every time?
Yes, that was our place. They love the salad bar, so.
Everybody's got a place. We had I had Olive Garden in college. And, I mean,
okay, gotcha. I love Olive Garden. Can't go wrong there.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. If you were – take away that whole experience. If you guys had continued to eat at Ruby Tuesday everywhere you went, do you think after college maybe you wouldn't go there again? Do you get a little tired of it?
I don't know. I like Ruby Tuesday. I think they got some good food. It's just it stinks that it had to happen to them, you know, that that was the situation. I mean, I don't really know exactly what it was. It could have been cross-contamination, which is like if they boiled the water in the same pasta as like regular pasta. It might not have actually been real pasta, but –
You're a much nicer man than me, though. That's the real takeaway in all this. But I mean, and that's why it sucks that you went through. You and all the other college basketball players are going through this. And you know, I talked to Veronica Burton, who's from Newton, and she plays over at Northwestern. But she's a sophomore, so she may have other chances to get there. It still sucks for her. Sucks for her upperclassmen. But I mean, she said it. You feel for the seniors, and you're one of them. When you guys were right there, right ready to play your first game. You were playing against Stonehill. Do you know where you guys were? Were you already there, actually?
Yeah, we drove. So our school is based in Philadelphia, and we drove all the way up to Bridgeport, who was hosting the NCAA tournament for our region, which was about a 3.5-hour ride. And then right when we got into the hotel, like literally, like we were handing out the hotel cards to the players. They had gotten a phone call. I don't know if it was from Bridgeport or – you know what it was, actually? The NCAA Division I tournament canceled first, I think. And then we kind of assumed that since they canceled all March Madness for Division I, we were like, there's no way we're playing. And then about like 20 minutes later, we were in coach's room going over some film, I think, going Stonehill. And they announced that they were just canceling everything. So it was tough. That was a tough day.
I can't even imagine. I mean, was it – when you found out, I mean, was it had you already kind of braced yourself for that possibility? Because they had taken away the fans at that point already for you guys too, right? You weren't going to be able to have family. I mean, Bill Ricca, Bridgeport, I mean, that's a reasonable drive, right?
We didn't really expect it to get completely canceled, I don't think. I think we heard the Ivy League canceled theirs. That was the first big step, I think, in this whole thing was the Ivy League canceled their conference tournament, and we're just going to allow the conference regular season champions to go to the NCAA tournament, which I believe for the boys it was Yale, and for the women I think it was Princeton. And there was a lot of ruckus about players. And I honestly thought everybody was saying that, you know, this is crazy. Like, they should have done it differently. So I think based on everybody's reactions to that, I didn't think they were actually going to cancel our whole NCAA tournament. I thought they were like the no fans thing sounded like a good idea to me. But, you know, it just blew up, I guess. You know, it's crazy how serious this is actually getting. And you just had to take the precautions. It definitely did the right thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Just kind of what they had to do. It just stinks that it had to be 2020, you know, my senior year. So
yeah, I mean, I know when the Ivy League stuff first got canceled, our mutual friend known as Fennis Dembo's Truth on Twitter was one of those vocal ones out there saying, like, why did they jump to this conclusion? And I mean, in the end, the Ivy League kind of had it right. It was shock of the century. But yeah. With regards to canceling the they're not having fans allowed at the game. I mean, I heard you were alluding to your dad. I mean, was it tough for your family to kind of see, like, we're not going to be able to go and watch him play his last few games?
No, yeah, that was definitely tough. My parents were avid fans of me. They came to Philly all the time. You know, I called them crazy. I wouldn't have done – if I had – my kids were playing in Philly, I would not have been making the drive out as much as they did. But they were at every home game, every Philadelphia game. They came even to most away games. The only times they didn't come is if they had a situation going on at work. So my mom and dad were at pretty much every single game my senior year. And like I said, I call them crazy. But, you know, I'll always remember that they came out to that. And, you know, I will appreciate their support. We had a couple games close to home this year, actually. I had a pretty big fan base up at St. Anselm's, which was a really close, tight game. And we played at AIC the first few games of the year in an opening tip-off tournament that we got a pretty good crowd for in those two. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's not too far away.
Yeah. But it was definitely tough for my dad. My dad was not happy with the fans-only thing, and it turns out they ended up canceling the whole thing anyway. So.
Man, at that point, it must have been, like, for them, just for you, like, just a complete shock. Just, I mean, this has been your life. I mean, this is – and I'm not trying to go and add to it. I mean, have you – gotten over it at this point or accepted it, I guess, maybe a better way to put it?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was really hard at first. In that hotel room that night, me and Colin were roommates, and you know, it was hard just to be even like in the same room as each other because we knew how like we both felt about it, and it was tough. But I think having my teammates there for me and knowing that these guys upcoming, how good they're going to be next year. And they're going to, like, they were talking to us about how, you know, we're going to get this championship for you guys next year, all that stuff. That kind of, it brought me up a little bit. But I mean, just knowing that I won't put on a Jefferson jersey again, that's what really hurts the most, I think, for sure.
So, man, and then you still have school and everything that you kind of got to go through and kind of move forward as everybody else is. Are you guys doing online courses right now or is that okay?
Yeah, we're on Zoom.
It's not bad for interviews, but I can't imagine for classes that has been fun.
Yeah, it's interesting. I definitely miss the in-class feel. I definitely didn't sign up for this, but the professors, I think, they're the ones who's having the hardest times, especially professors that are all used to doing paperwork stuff. Like I have an accounting class where everything was tests were paper. Nothing was online. He had to completely do like a 360 over spring break and figure everything out on how he was going to do this. So it's definitely been a tough transition. And my Jefferson just announced they're actually going to do the pass-fail trend, which has been going on in a lot of schools now, which is students paid for in-class situations, and a lot of them are struggling with this whole transition. So they're just allowing students to do the pass-fail option for this semester. And I guess whatever semester comes with the coronavirus in the future. So,
yeah, hopefully it doesn't extend into the fall for the.
Yeah, it could. We don't know yet. It's crazy.
We don't know. And I mean, when it comes to what you're going to be doing going forward and everything, were you planning on trying to continue your playing career afterwards, overseas or anything like that? Or how has this impacted your, looking towards real life, real world situation?
I definitely want to play in the future. This summer was going to be a big summer for me as far as like workouts go and trying to get seen and playing in front of agents, getting to as many camps as I could for anything that would open up for me overseas or, you know, whatever kind of opened up. So I think, you know, now with this coronavirus, a lot of these camps are getting canceled. A lot of agents are reluctant to reach out now because they're not sure when their seasons are going to start back up. So as far as right now goes, we got my coach made my highlight tape. It's on YouTube. He's sending out to agents as much as he can. These camps they're reaching out to me. They're trying to figure out what they're doing and how they're going to be able to go about this. I think they just pushed back the dates that they initially had. but I don't even think they're 100% sure whether or not they're going to be able to go through with it at those future dates because of the whole virus. It's just, it's insane.
So with your training then too, as obviously another important part of it, I mean, I know you can't go around shooting around in parks and stuff because you got people who are going in crowds and now they've had to lock down rims and everything like that. Are you still able to do anything at all? I mean,
yeah, I got a hoop. We got a hoop in the backyard, a little pavement. So I get out there and I try and shoot around.
So everybody go to Josh's house. That's where you go to train.
No. We don't want that. Just that's just for me. Me and my brothers. I try to get out there. I try to run, stay in shape. Those are really the main two things I can do right now. That's about it. I can't. No live competition, which is like the most important thing, I feel like.
Yeah, you can't replicate game reps. Nothing like
you
it.
You can do your best, but it's not the same having a defender on you as like going around cones and stuff.
So obviously you miss not being able to play. I mean, and you hope, and I hope you are able to extend past, your career past this and everything like that, because that would at least, I would hope, make the sour ending a little bit more bearable. But when you look at everything else that you've gone through, everything else has been taken away from you, excuse me. What's the, one thing you never really realized you took for granted in the course? Because everybody realizes now it's like, not having games, not having sports, none of that. It's like, this is a luxury we've had, and now it's like, see ya.
I think the one thing if I had to go back in school, the one thing that I think kind of kept me going from my freshman year, not playing as much and I guess my teammates, really. Seeing my teammates, it's like my freshman year, I came to Philly. I didn't know what it was going to be like. Didn't know what school was going to be like. I just kind of threw myself out there, and my teammates were there my freshman year. My teammates were there to pick me up. They were there to introduce me to new people, help me with classes, things like that. Into my sophomore year, it was the same thing. It was like there was one constant thing every single year at school that, kept me going, and that was definitely having my teammates around. And I think this year, we talked about it a little bit in the locker room and about the end of the year. Some of the younger guys, they said that they've never been on a team where they felt like they actually liked everybody on that team, where they felt like they generally liked them. Like they always felt like there was like one outcast at some point or another. But they said this year was the year where they felt like they actually generally liked everybody and everybody got along well. And, that's kind of like those are the conversations that we had that I'm just going to remember for the rest of my life when I look back at it. And I definitely took it for granted being able to see those guys every day for 4 years. So whether they were only there for a year or 2 years or whatever it was, but that's the part I'm going to miss the most for sure.
This is why I wanted to try and talk to some college players, because you guys deserve a better ending. You at least deserved a shot in the course of all to go against Stonehill. How did you, they were six and you guys were three. I mean, how did you like that matchup, by the way, looking back at it?
Well, if looking at film, I thought we had a pretty good shot. I thought our matchups matched up well. I thought our bigs matched up well against them. I thought Kylan had a pretty good matchup with their guards and stuff like that. I thought we had a good chance. I thought we were going to win in the first round. I thought second round we were going to play the winner of St. Thomas Aquinas and Dominican. And Dominican was a team that beat us in the championship, so we were really like hoping to get a second shot at them. We really wanted to get that opportunity, trying to knock them out of the NCAA tournament after they knocked us out of the conference. So, it's kind of like, what can you do, I guess? We wanted that opportunity and just got taken away from us.
Man, I'm so sorry you're going through that. How has to end this maybe on a nicer note? How's it being back home with your family? And you said you have brothers.
Yeah, I have four brothers. Only three of them live at home now.
Okay, so what's it been like being with them pretty much every day?
I don't know what only childs do in situations like this in quarantine, because I'm with my little brother all the time. We're playing video games together, things like that. It's keeping me sane in here, and my parents too, obviously. They're having them around and talking to them, but I just feel for only child in situations like this right now, not having anything to do with or any people to like do anything with. It's definitely got to be tough. My brothers are the main reason that make this quarantine a little easier for me. So
are you 2K guy, or what's your game that you play?
Yeah, 2K, Fortnite, Call of Duty.
Fortnite.
Did you hear about shooting games?
Did you hear about Perks Kid and what he did with Fortnite? Apparently,
no.
He apparently spent $16K on Fortnite skins and whatever else it is that you guys buy on there. Yeah, he was not happy. He was not happy.
I can imagine. I can imagine. It's like not even like necessities either. You don't really need skins to play the game. You can just 16K. That's outrageous.
I don't even know how to spend 16K in that short period of time. I mean, ridiculous. But are you? I asked Matt this, and he said, "Hell no." Are you gonna be watching the 2K tournament with the players involved? Like, oh, you are.
Absolutely. Yeah, I gotta see who can really play. I think, from what I've heard, Trae Young is like a fan favorite. I think in 2K, I think he's got. He's pretty good.
So is that the guy you're picking to win?
If I had to, I guess, because that's really the only one I've heard about. I don't really know who else really plays 2K like that as far as the NBA goes. So it'll be interesting to see that. I definitely want to see kind of their reactions and everything. I think 2K really gets on my nerves sometimes.
The transition passing is unbelievably terrible.
It's ridiculous. Transition passing, just like the what shots go in and what shots don't. Sometimes like you'll come down and you'll have a lot of them and it'll miss. And then the guy will come down and shoot like a fadeaway contested three, and it'll go in. It's like, geez, I can't. It makes me turn the game off sometimes.
I was playing it quite a bit earlier on in the season, and then at one point I was just like, man, I just cannot figure out the shooting. It's good. Honestly, it's comforting to know. So thank you that other people get frustrated with the shooting.
I think that's what I'm excited to see the most in this little tournament. I think I'm excited to see some of the reactions of the players of. When they get screwed over sometimes, so that should.
Now we were trying to figure this out in the course of things. Is it? Do you know if it's one on one or if guys are using their teams? Have you seen anything about that?
I don't know what. I haven't heard anything about that. No, I don't. It's definitely not one on one. They'll probably. I mean, I know what we do. Like when my team plays 2K, we do three randoms, which is you go to the thing, you randomize teams for three times, and you pick the best of what you get. And if you don't get it, you get a fourth, and you have to be that team if you do the fourth. So,
do or die pick.
I don't know.
Right?
It would be interesting to see if they do that too. I don't know. Like Kate, I'm trying to think of like somebody who's playing who's on like a stacked team. I guess is anybody from like the Lakers playing? Like I feel like if you get the Lakers, you're definitely at an advantage over like if somebody.
I don't think so. I wonder if they're gonna. That's the one thing about Durant that if they're using teams and they use their own teams. Is Durant going to be allowed to use himself on the Nets because he's
right? That's true too.
Yeah,
I would assume not. I mean, that's if you're doing a 2K tournament now, just because you are a player in the NBA, you wouldn't be able to play with yourself. I guess it's interesting.
One would think. I don't know, but I'm looking for. Yeah. I'm going to watch some of it at least. I don't know.
Matt, I'm definitely going to tune in.
Yeah. Matt's too much of an old man sometimes. You know what I mean?
I'm going to see if they got the caliber, if they could beat. Me and some of my teammates, see what they got.
There you go. Josh, I really appreciate you taking the time. Good luck with everything, and we'll be following you down the line.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it, yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it, yeah. I just want to be all right with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions. I'm just hoping for some.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.